Amen. Thank you, brother. You won't get that kind of honesty most places, right? Jesse, thought it was going to be a spiritual moment. No, I just forgot how to play. I love it. If you will, go and turn in your Bibles to a book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 5 and 6 this morning. A little bit different of a day. I know we've been in this called series and kind of still somewhat remain in that, except there is no biblical character to speak of this morning. We'll look at some of you characters that are sitting in this room, the dads. And I want to be one of the first to welcome you and say a happy Father's Day if you haven't heard it already. But I've also got to just throw this kind of preface out and say this. Just like we did on Mother's Day, if you're not a dad sitting in this room, there's some of you that physically can't be a dad this morning, just from being a lady, and we'll forgive you of that. But I want you to know that God can still speak this morning. This isn't let you off the hook. I shared that last time, is that when I was a kid, I would love going to church, and it was like a Father's Day or Mother's Day. I was like, finally, the preacher's not going to say anything convicting to me. He's going to be talking to dads, and I'm a kid. And somehow the preacher would wind up rolling it back around. It's like, wait a minute, how did that happen? So I want you to know God's Word is living and active today, and I believe can still speak if you're in this place and not physically a dad this morning. So if you will, just go in the book of Ephesians and read a little bit together this morning. It's a familiar passage and one that you may not expect me to go to on a Father's Day. In fact, it may raise some eyebrows, especially from the ladies in this place that are wives of some of these dads. If you look in chapter 5, starting at verse 22, here's what it says. Wives, submit to your husbands. What a place to go on Father's Day, right? I mean, some of you may already be giving me the stink eye. There may be elbows already, but right, just hang with me. I promise. I believe the Lord has a point this morning. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself as Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also the wives should submit in everything to their husbands. I want you to know, I didn't pick Father's Day to camp out on a place like this, although some of you dads may love that. You may say, stop right there, stop what you're doing, stop at those verses. I love that. Just camp out there and that'll be great. But really, there's a point to this. There's a point that builds off this passage, and really what Paul is doing, writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, there is something very deep, a very deep calling that is going on right now in Scripture. And in fact, this is a verse that a lot of people that are Bible-believing Christians, especially men, that will catch a lot of flack over this verse and say, all you want to do is beat your wife over the head with Scripture and get to lord over the fact that you get to tell them what to do. First off, I want you to know that is not this church's stance, but more importantly than that is not Christ's stance. It's not the Holy Spirit's stance on this verse at all. In fact, men, if we read this verse, it's a very, very challenging verse. It continues on, and Paul builds in this truth. But I want you to know this is a humbling truth. And the truth that is so humbling is not the fact that men are called to the role of being leader. That's not what scares me. What scares me is the type of leaders that men are called to be from this verse. You see, anyone that reads this verse and says this is a caveman mentality and we're just dragging the wife around and telling her what to do and fix me some dinner and all that, that is so overblown and so incorrect to look at that kind of view in this scripture. There is no possible way that listening to the Holy Spirit and reading that, especially trying to be a man of God, that you can look at it and say, man, I get to tell my wife what to do, and she does it. There's nowhere found in this. We see clearly defined roles, and we see the husband as the head of the church, but I want you to continue on and look at Ephesians 5:25. As our good friend, if you remember on the radio, Paul Harvey used to say the rest of the story. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, men, if we listen to that this morning, we take the approach of, I want to be a godly husband, I want to be a godly man. And women, you're sitting here saying, man, I want my husband to be that way, or I want my future husband to be that way. Really, this is a humbling part of this. The scary part is not the idea that husbands are called to be leaders. It's the fact that we're called to be leaders like this. I need not remind you this morning. I'm just guessing that if you're here this morning and you got your Bible open and your intent and you're saying, man, I want to know what it means to be a follower of Christ this morning, thinking about that, then we know what Christ did. But just in case we need a reminder, I want you to think of the type of a man that Jesus was. It was someone that went to prostitutes and loved them when no one else would, forgave them when no one else would, when people looked down on them. He went to lepers who came through the city and had to yell, unclean, unclean, and people would scatter. He went to them and touched them. He touched unclean, dead bodies and, by the way, brought them to life. This was a guy that lived this amazing life. Not only that, but it came to that great exchange moment where he exchanged the righteousness of God in order to pick up your sin and lay that down, lay his righteousness down so you could lay down your sin and pick up his righteousness. I mean, that's who Jesus was. It says, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That means that men in this place who are called to a godly standard, who are saying, I want to be different than what this world defines. In fact, I want to be different than how the world defines this verse. What does it really mean? The idea is this, is that men in this place ought to love their wives to the point of even death. Now, where we get there, it may sound skewed. Some of you would say, man, if there was a moment in time, a physical, actual moment today, say someone came in here today and demanded the life of someone, that there is not, hopefully, a man in this place that would push their wife out there and say, here, take her, all right? If that's you, God help you, and may he have mercy on your soul this morning, right? That shouldn't be you, and I don't think it would be. In fact, the men that are not married in this church, I believe, would step in front and say, take me. That's the kind of people that are around him. But it's talking about so much more than that. See, to me, that would be an easy thing to do. If someone came in here today, in fact, I'll go this far to say, and I'll make you this promise, hopefully we won't have to play this out, but we very well could. All right? If someone comes in this place today with guns blazing and says, I'm taking one of you, I'll step in front of that for y'all. Hey, what a Father's Day. I'll get to celebrate with him today. I'll take that place. That's an easy thing to do because I love you. I love my family. You better believe these two hooligans up here, right? I would jump in front of a bullet for them and their wife and their mom. They don't have a wife yet. My wife. I would do that. That's the easy thing to do, right? That's the easy thing to do. But what the hard thing is to do is to wake up every day and say, I'm going to die to myself today for my wife. I'm going to die to myself today for my children. I'm going to die to myself for my brothers and sisters today. That's the hard part. And that's what Jesus did every single day that he existed. What an example. And yet husbands, again, listen to this. Future husbands or just men in general, listen to this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Not just in that one defining moment on a cross, but daily, every day. Now here's where I believe things kind of come into play in Father's Day. This is talking about husbands and wives, and you may be tuning out if you're not a husband or not a wife yet. You may be tuning out and saying, I don't really understand, or I don't get where you're going. I think there is a very critical thing here that is missed. For the wives that are called to submit, I want you to understand this. That I believe what God is calling you to submit to is the type of man that verse 25 is talking about. Is the idea that looking back and seeing some of our couples in here, that I'm not afraid to point out as an example, that Meredith, if she looks at Brantley and says, man, Brantley is living a life where he is dying to himself and really just doing like what Christ did for the church, she is going to be all on board and say, man, I will submit to that every day of the week. Right? I just know in my own life that's the case. When I find myself trying to live a life that way, that it's easy for Jamie to submit in a place like that. Now, what's beautiful about that is when that submission happens, that's not something that man, that type of man, that type of focus is going to ever lord over his wife, right? It's a beautiful thing the way God designed it. The way he designed it is a beautiful picture. And as I was thinking this whole idea of coming to a Father Day kind of moment and coming to this place of a day that we celebrate like this, I honestly feel that Paul is continuing in this letter, and this same kind of thing is what he's about to tell, not just dads, but parents. I want to take it even a step further this morning. Not just physical parents, but spiritual parents. You may say, what the heck's a spiritual parent? I want you to know there's a lot of people in this world today that do not have a godly influence of a mom and a dad, right? You may not this morning. You may sit here and say, man, I would love to have seen my dad treat my mom that way, right? I would have loved to have seen that example played out. Maybe it's your time to be that example for someone else. We're right here in the city of Birmingham where God has placed us and planted us for a reason. Many people do not have that example. Many people need someone to come in their life that will be a mentor to them, if you will, a spiritual parent, someone who models these kind of things for them in their life. I've said it before and I'll say it again and continue to say it until the day the Lord takes me home, but everyone needs a Paul. Every person needs a Paul in their life. Every Paul needs a Timothy in theirs. You can look at that relationship seen in Scripture. One of the things that Paul wrote when he wrote Timothy, one of the letters, he called him my true son. Wasn't his son, but he was a spiritual son. Someone that Paul mentored and cared about. And I believe there's no better time in our world that we could use more people like that than we see in our world today. I want to take you into the Scripture that we'll read today concerning fathers and their children. Look at this, in Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul continues on in this letter, let's look at the first three verses together. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. I want you to just start here at an obvious place, right? It starts out, and Paul is finishing up this letter, and he's just wrote this beautiful passage about walking in love and how a husband should treat his wife. And then he goes on, and he says, and oh, by the way, parents, here's how you're to live your life. But he starts out with the idea of children, obey your parents. Morgan and Bradley, God's talking to you right now. He's telling you, obey your parents, right? Your children in here, all right? Your children of someone. Obey your parents. But here's one statement he says in the Lord. Here's what he's saying. This is an act of worship. Obeying your parents is an act of worship, but it's also to obey them in the Lord, as so as it doesn't hinder your faith, right? I'm going to give you an extreme example this morning. Two extreme examples, all right? Here's what it's meaning and here's what it's not meaning. In the Lord. I knew of a guy that when he was about 18 years old, right? There's a child that needs to obey their parents right now. Don't cry, all right? I knew a guy when he was 18, he converted to Christianity. And when he did, his parents came to him and said, you either recant this new Christian faith or get out. You either got to admit that you don't believe in this or you got to get out of my house. And respectfully, he told his parents, I love you, I'm praying for you, but I can't go back on what I've promised the Lord. And he left his house. I think he was within his rights to do that because God is the ultimate authority, right? And so as we submit in the Lord to our parents. We obey our parents in the Lord as long as it doesn't contradict the ultimate authority of God. I was thinking, we've got a youth group coming in this week, and so I've kind of been going back in these youth pastor days, right? Jesse, you've been a part of a lot of youth groups and doing things. I was thinking back to this one child one time that came to me, and they were just so serious, man, that they had trumped their parents. I mean, they came to me and they said, I just don't believe what they're doing is right. I think this is for the Lord. I said, well, what's going on? It's like, well, I was grounded this week. Well, what were you grounded for? And they told me, you know, whatever they were grounded for. I don't even remember the thing now. And they said, and they're not letting me come Friday night to the event that you're having. I said, you know, Friday night's just a lock-in, right? Do you know what a lock-in is? It's a horrible experience. It's if you've ever been a part of it as a leader, it's a horrible experience. I hated them. It was where you literally locked in the church building and you stayed all night with a bunch of teenagers. Like, I loved them in doses of hours, even trips, but all night you got no sleep. It was crazy, right? You're just praying guys and girls don't get off by themselves. I mean, that was a real possibility. It's all kind of stress level in this whole youth pastor thing. But they said, I got grounded and my parents aren't letting me come Friday night, and I think that's hindering my spiritual walk. I mean, like, that's the serious thing. I was like, we've got scheduled to put shaving cream on people's face and see how many Cheetos we can get to stick to it. Like, there's nothing spiritual happening that night. It's a lock-in. It's for fun, right? And so I want you to see the kind of examples that were going on. I was like, that doesn't fly. You know, I feel like I ought to disobey my parents and still come to the lock-in. Because that's just hindering my walk. That doesn't fly, right? It's not that kind of thing. So you see the differences. Here where it's talking to children and saying, obey your parents in the Lord, is talking about as long as it's not a hindrance to your faith, even as adult children, I think we ought to try to honor our father and mother. It continues on. Look at verse 2. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you look at this, I want you to think back to Exodus. You think back to the time where Israel was promised this great land, right? This promised land. They're promised that the Lord is going to be there with them, and they're given these Ten Commandments. And he's saying, this is the first commandment with the promise. Now, I do want to point out that this was God's covenant people. It was their covenant land. And so really what Scripture is talking about in that moment is when they're in a pattern of trying to follow the Lord and trying to honor their parents, then God was going to bless them in that land. But I still think it applies to us today. I still think there is a thing when we honor our father and mother. It's not to mean that you're going to live this long life here on earth. And boy, if I'll just obey my parents, that's the secret to making it to 100 years old, right? That's not it. All right. The secret to making it to 100 years old is backing away from the table, exercising a little more. And even still, then we're not guaranteed, right? He's saying, obey your parents, honor your parents. There's blessing that comes with that. Even, I believe, an eternal blessing for honoring that authority that God has given us. I want to continue on. Look at verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Here's kind of where I want to camp out and really just talk to maybe the dads in the room, okay? Doesn't mean everybody else can tune out, because we can still take it in the idea of moms. We can still take it in the idea of being these spiritual parents, these mentors, and all these things. This was an important thing to Paul. Paul even goes on in the book of Colossians. You can jot this down if you're taking notes. Colossians 3:21 and says something like this as well. And here's, he's saying, do not provoke to anger. And the reason why, so your kids don't become discouraged. That's what really God is saying here. Do not discourage your children, all right? The great theologian Forrest Gump. Anybody know Forrest Gump? The great theologian. I, like him, am not a smart man, but I can figure out that the opposite of discouragement is what? Help me.
Encouragement.
Encouragement, right. You're paying attention this morning, right? So if we're called to be these kind of parents that do not discourage our children, we are to encourage them. We are called to encourage. If you're like me, and that's a big word, and you want to wrap your mind around it, here's what the word encourage means. To give support, to show confidence in, or give hope. Man, I want to tell you, nowhere in our world's history, nowhere in our time do our children need more confidence and hope and support in the good things. Our kids need us to believe in them. I try to live this as a dad. I don't do a good job in that all the time, but I always try to let my kids know that there is no bigger fan in their life than me. I love them. I would die for them. I try to die daily for them, but I'm their biggest fan and want to offer support and encouragement and all the things that they do that are God-honoring. So don't discourage our children. But Paul continues on, and man, this is a tough one. He says, don't discourage them, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Guys, can I just be real honest with you this morning, real frank? And I do want to talk just to the men in here for just a second. This is a kind of a guy-to-guy talk here. I want you to know that if you have children, or if you will have children, that beyond making them a superstar at ball, beyond telling them, hey, this is the career I want you to have, or hoping that, you know, it's the right school or the right, you know, career, the right kind of money thing for them down the road, there is no greater job that we have than instructing our kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's priority one. And man, I'm just, if you want to know the truth, convicted a little bit when I look in my life and I look in the lives of men that I see, and especially outside these walls, that there are a lot of men that are more concerned if their kid can catch a ball, makes good grades, goes to the right school, all of these things, than the Lord is somewhere down here. I want to tell you, I believe what Paul is saying here is that the most important thing, again, let me read it, just his words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is all he says about parents in this section. Paul could have said anything, and here's what he closes with. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If what Paul's saying. If at all costs, if there's anything that you can do, do this. Man, I want you to know our world needs dads like this that will go to their children and say, man, above anything, I want to bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It needs women like this that will take on younger women and say, I want to try to help you in the ways of the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Men that will go to younger men and say, I want to help you in the ways and instruction of the Lord. So here's the deal. I think if the Lord has shown me anything this week and reading this scripture, I find it unique that he goes on and continues in this letter and he's about to talk about the whole armor of God. Men, if we want to be these kind of men, that's something that we need to look at. So go and read that later this week, just about the type men and preparation that we need to make to be that. But if there's anything he's shown me is that anyone in here want to just be completely transparent and honest as Jesse was about forgetting how to play a song and just say this, that you're not the perfect parent, right? I mean, I'm not, I never will be. But here's the thing we've got to let that translate to. If we're not the perfect parent, our kids aren't always going to be the perfect children. Now, we love them, right? We're always going to love them. We're always going to want what's best for them. But there's got to be grace on both sides. Kids, you got to give your dad grace when he's not the best dad, right? We have to give our parents grace when they're not the best parents. We also have to give our children that same kind of grace. But secondly, I believe this. Here's what God's really shown me this week just over this passage, and I'll try to land this plane. Just as with the husband and wife passage, you know, husbands, we really ought to strive to give our wives someone that's worthy to submit to. I think Paul's talking the same kind of deal here, right? I think if we want our children to obey and honor and respect and all these things that we really want, dads, let's give them somebody to do that too. Like, let's give them somebody that's worthy of that, right? I think it's kind of the same thing. You know, look back over this passage that we just read, these four verses. It's kind of just like the flow of the husband and wife, right? Wives, submit to your husbands, and then it goes into what the husband should be. Children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, it may go well with you. And then he gets down. Fathers, don't provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You want your kids to obey you and respect you and honor you and all these things, then bring them up the way that you should. Right? I think it's an if and thing. I mean, not saying that lets kids off the hook of like, well, my dad's just not doing that, so I don't have to honor them. No, we honor and we try to love them to a point of even accepting Christ. But I think it's a deal where we look at it and say, fathers, give them something worthy of honoring and respecting and obeying. Now, I'm not there, but I want to be. I believe that's what God is calling us to. And the last thing I'll close on is this scary thought. Be an example to your kids, because I really believe our hope ought to be that they become like you, right? If they're going to grow up in your home and you're going to try to offer them the best that you want, you want them to be like you and even better, right? Give them that example. And here's the scary thought is I look back over being a kid, and man, I got some of the greatest parents in the world. Most of you know them, some of you know them. I'll fight you over that. I believe I do. I got some of the best parents in the world. They've done so much for me and just how they've lived and what they've shown me. But I remember as a kid, and you've been there, having those thoughts of like, I will never, ever do that to my kid. When I'm a parent, I will never, listen to me, drawing the line, I will never, ever, ever do that to my kid. One of my least favorite things as a kid. I mean, absolute least favorite thing. They would throw something out there and I would say, well, why? Because I said so. Right? You hate it too, right? You've had it happen. You've had it happen. And I remember as a kid having those moments, I said, I'll never do that to my kid. I couldn't wait the first time my kids asked me why. Because I said so. Right? Because I said so. I love it. Ask me why. Please, I dare you, ask me why. Because I said so. And it really brought this example home. It's like, man, I learned how to parent by watching them parent me. I won't tell you, if you're not shaking in your boots right now and scared, parents in this place, spiritual parents, mentors, man, you'll follow our example. Kids, y'all will have that moment one day. Bradley, you will say, man, I hated when my dad did this. And you'll do it to your kids one day. You'll say, where did I learn that from? You learned it by watching me. It's going back to the 80s drug commercial, right? Anybody that's old enough to remember that. They're going to be like us. And I want to give them an example of something worth following. I want them one day to say, man, dad didn't always do this, this, and this, but he did try to bring me up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. I pray that's all our prayers this morning. Would you pray with me this morning? Jesse's going to come. He's going to lead us in one more song of worship together. I really want it to be a time of invitation this morning and just a time of reflection. You may be in here this morning. I hate if you're feeling like, man, that was just for the dads. I hope you can apply it in some way in your life. The Word is living and breathing. And so I challenge you, if you're not a dad in this place, I just want you to maybe try to figure in your mind some way of like, man, who has God put in my path that I can be a mentor to, that I can help in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. But I want to speak to dads just real quickly. It's very clear in Scripture that we're the leader of our homes. We're supposed to be. A lot of times moms pick up the slack for us in that where we lack, and that's what a beautiful partnership is. But guys, we are called to lead. So lead. Lead in a way that would be honoring to them. Lead in a way that when your kids look at you, they say, man, I want to be like dad. Man, one of the greatest compliments I think my dad's ever told me about a compliment I gave him, he said, you said I was your hero. I don't know how, but you said I was your hero. Man, that's an awesome thing. That my kids would say that about me one day. You're my hero. Live that kind of life. Try to live that kind of life. He'll give us grace when we mess up, but let's aim for that this morning in a moment of reflection. Would you reflect with me and pray with me as Jesse leads? I'll be in the back if you need to holler at me, pray with you or any of those kind of things, okay? Father, we love you. We thank you for being the best example of a father who loves us, who keeps no record of wrongs, a father who is patient, who is kind, Father, forgiving, merciful, all these traits that we should have for our children and maybe even spiritual children and people that we're mentoring and people that we're discipling. And, you know, that's a call that you've given us to go and to make disciples, not just converts. Nowhere really in Scripture does it tell us that. Just go and get someone to accept me as Lord and Savior and then walk away. It says we're to disciple, make disciples. So even with our spiritual children, those that you've put in our life that we can mentor, that we would be people that would be worthy of obeying and respecting and honoring and for no credit of our own, but so we can give you glory, so we can try to help someone else in their path, just following the instruction and discipline of the Lord. For dads, especially on this day that we set aside, help us lead. Help us be men that lead in a way that when our kids look at us and say, man, I want to be like my dad. That's an honor when we hear those things. It's an honor when we see those things, when our kids doing things, it was like, man, I hope I taught them in some of those things. It's one of my greatest treasures when I think of those moments that I get to see that. Father, there's not nearly enough of those. I need your help in that. So I pray that you give me strength. I pray for all the wives that you would help support. And Father, for this community, our body here, that we could support each other in that, that we could all help. None of us can take the place of a mom or dad, but we can help pick up the slack for those that need it. Help us to be ones that can be example for the young ones in this place and the young ones to come that we don't even know by name yet. From all walks of life, from all circumstances, that we can be people that can help them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's what you've put us here for. And even some of us might even have the call this morning to be a father to the fatherless. There may be even some physical adoption that takes place from in this room. And so, Father, we just pray that we'd be obedient and honor you in all things that you've called us to this morning. We continue to reflect and worship. I pray that you'd speak. And Father, during this time of invitation, if there's anything we need to do business with you, that we would do that today. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.